Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Talk about it. That's poet Mary Oliver, and this is Everyday Wonder, a podcast where we turn down the volume on all the shouting that's going on these days so we can talk about the things that really matter. I'm Brett Will Taylor, here with my co-host, Renee Peck.
Hello.
And our guest today is a tree, an actual tree, people. We're looking at a tree. And that has me a little apprehensive, not because it's a tree. I talk to trees all the time. But because this particular tree has almost a cult-like status in New Orleans. It's a very popular tree, a destination tree, if you will. And I'm one of those guys that I have this built-in aversion to anything that's popular. I like to follow my own path, not everybody else's. And so when I told Renee that I didn't really know if I wanted to come and interview this particular tree, popular tree, Renee asked me the same question that my partner asked me all the time when I tell him I don't want to do something or I don't like something. And that was, well, have you actually gone to the tree? And I had to admit I hadn't. So Renee, here we are at this particular popular tree. Tell us about it.
Well, you probably wouldn't go see the Eiffel Tower either, would you? I mean, well, there are things
not,
that are popular, you know, that are worth seeing. We're on a field trip today. We are out in the woods, which is actually Audubon Park in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we decided to come out of the studio and into the field so that Brett Will could meet the Tree of Life. And first of all, the Tree of Life. How could you not love something called the Tree of Life? Nobody knows why it's called that or how long it's been called that, but for me, just the fact that this massive oak is known as the Tree of Life and brings all these visitors in every year makes it worth a visit. So what's your first impression, Brett Will?
First of all, it's a big tree. I mean, if any of you listeners are size queens, you would be impressed. It's an amazing tree, and it's funny. I am reminded of the role that trees play in mysticism and in religion. You know, it's crazy to me, and I'm not a Christian, but the Bible mentions trees 525 times. The only thing that is mentioned more frequently in the Bible than trees are humans. In Jewish mysticism, there is a tree of life. We certainly know that Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree for 40 days, and my God, if the Bodhi tree is like this tree, I could hang out under here for 40 days. And in shamanism, the world that I'm most familiar with, trees play a very important role. And the idea of that is that trees have roots that step into where we come from. Those roots go deep into Mother, into the earth. But the branches of trees reach up to the gods and the goddesses. So when you are at a tree, when you see a tree, you actually can enter both that from which you came and that to which you will go. And I think that's a really powerful thing. And what I love about all of this, you know, I mean, I don't know if people can hear this, but you can hear kids' voices and playing around here. I know you talk about, Renee, your grandkids come and play on the Tree of Life. Children play on it. That, to me, is the everyday wonder of this tree, is that even if a little toddler or an adult doesn't know about Jewish mysticism, if you're like me and you don't know about all the things that are in the Bible, something draws you to this tree, and it is that lifelong, that eternal human story.
Okay, wait. I am all for Jewish mysticism, and I think it's wonderful. And for you, the Tree of Life is about life with a capital L. For me, this is a Tree of Life with a lowercase L, which means that my kids do play here, the dogs run here, people elope here, people sit under here and have picnics. But if you're going to pick a tree, this is probably a great tree to pick. If I were a reporter, and I still am, and as a reporter, I would write that it's 35 feet in circumference, so it would take you and I and about 10 other people holding hands
to
surround it, to hug a tree. The canopy is 160 feet wide, so it is wide in the way redwoods are tall, which gives it a massiveness. It is actually not the Tree of Life officially, but the Etienne de Bore oak. It was number 13 out of 43 trees, which in 1934 were inducted into the Live Oak Society. So as trees go, it is a celebrity. All of us love visiting celebrities, and this is...
It's an A-list tree.
It's an A-list tree.
Hashtag absolutely tree of life.
But probably the most fun thing about this tree is that it's next to the giraffe enclosure at the Audubon Zoo, and you can see the giraffes peeking over and looking at the tree with you. So there's a little savanna of Africa effect here that puts you in a distant place in time when you're looking at this tree. And it reminds us of the wonderful bounties of nature and growth and greenery that even in a very urban, busy, boisterous environment like New Orleans, you can seek and find.
And I think that's all, you know, there's two things that I find awesome about that. And God, what a great reporter you are. You should be in journalism. We're what? How far are we from snowball stands and po' boys? We're what, about a quarter of a mile?
At most.
So we really are in the city and with this amazing tree. And, you know, I lived in Boston for 20 years, and we have the Boston Common and we have the Public Garden. And that is meticulously and gloriously manicured. And there are pathways. And because of the pilgrims and their lingering influence on life in the Northeast, you do not really get off of those pathways unless you have a pretty blanket that you lay on. This, you know, it's a little rough. I mean, there's sort of, you know, there are literally beaten paths here. You know, this tree has been lived in and lived on, well, and she's sort of like New Orleans in a way, right?
Yeah, and what I love about this tree is that it's got big gnarly roots and branches that are so heavy that they have sort of succumbed to gravity and lie on the ground. So for you, a tree, a mystic tree, leads from the earth to the sky, and this tree is one that kids can climb. The roots are big enough you can sit on them. It's a tree that's very accessible, and so the mysticism is the subtext. To me, the reality of the tree is that you can climb on it. You can hug it. You can sit on it. You can wander around it. It's touchable. It's approachable. And I think that so many things in our lives now are not.
Well, and I think also this tree is natural. She has not had a facelift.
No.
She is not regularly manicured. You know, it's exactly, she is not. She's lived a hard life, but that doesn't mean a bad life. And it's funny, I am reminded, and we'll have this up on the page for this episode, I'm reminded of the last portrait that Lauren Bacall ever had done.
Ah.
And she had no makeup on.
The Lauren Bacall of trees. Here
the
we
Lauren
go.
Well, it is. And wait till you see it. You're going to say I'm right. The last portrait she ever had done, she was 80-something years old, and she had no makeup on.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm proud of how I look. I lived this face. This is the tree of life. This is what life looks like when it's well lived.
Yeah, and you know, this tree, nobody's quite sure how old it is. Some people think
so
it was
a lady then.
It's a grand dame. She, because I see a she, who knows, was born probably around 1740, according to experts. But actually, I like to think that maybe there was an acorn sprouting here out of the earth about the time Bienville was planning a stick down river where the French Quarter is, and that when New Orleans began to sprout as a city, this tree began to sprout as a tree. So she has seen everything that has happened. The people wandering beneath her limbs have been those who have populated the city over 300 years. So I always wonder, and I ask you this, what do you think this tree is saying to us today, Brettwell?
Well, you know, so I'm going to answer in two levels. I'm going to answer in the real world way.
And the mysticism way, got
it. Right, so I'm going to answer in the real world way, the non-woo-woo way. The first thing I think this tree would say is what Elaine Stritch said so well, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And how lucky we are. The other thing I think that this tree would say is something Joseph Campbell once said, and that is that the center of God is everywhere and nowhere. The center is where I sit, but also where you sit. So yes, I am the center, but so is the person facing me. And I think we are the center of God, but so is the tree facing us.
That's so poetic.
I have my moments.
I never knew when I walked the dog
did
here.
Did I earn my keep today?
You did indeed. The other thing I do like about this tree is it's not alone. And you reference the fact that we are together with the tree. This tree has Spanish moss in it. In fact, it's strewn all over with Spanish moss. It's got squirrels. It's got birds.
It's got a thousand, untold number of bugs and things living in it.
And maybe termites, who knows.
Yep.
But it is a source of life. And it life is a source of beings and isms and creatures. And I think there is a unity with not just nature, but with other people. It's a meeting place. It's where my kids come when they say, oh, meet me at the Tree of Life. I think it's an iconic place in New Orleans where people come and gather. And as such, it is not only a symbol of community, but it is a place of community.
You know, and I think the really awesome thing about that, about it being an iconic place, iconic is such a human word, right?
Yes.
Such a mental word. It takes us back to popularity.
And the Eiffel Tower.
Well, we're not going there yet. That'll be that'll be season three. We'll do a real road trip. But I think what I love about this tree being iconic is how unusual that in 2019, when we humans try to better everything and market everything and commercialize everything, this icon is untouched.
Yes.
This icon is purely natural.
Yes.
So I think what we should do now is let's wander and go and talk to some people.
And talk to some of the people under the tree and just see if they agree with us.
This is you all's lucky day.
We're doing a podcast about the Tree of Life.
Oh, awesome.
Have y'all been here before?
No.
And
never
why
have.
Are you here?
Well, we got married earlier today.
In the French Quarter.
In the French Quarter.
And you're here at the Tree of Life because you heard about it from?
I actually just saw it on Google Maps, and I was like, what is that? Let's go check it out. I clicked on it, and it had awesome reviews. I mean, it's a tree, but it had awesome reviews.
So are you all from New Orleans?
No. We're from New York.
How did you end up getting married here?
It was kind of a last-minute decision.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as you elope.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong. That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah. So we're very much into nature and hiking in New York. So when we saw this here, we kind of wanted to get into our nature feel in New Orleans.
And it looked beautiful in the pictures. So we figured let's get some beautiful pictures with it.
So what do you think about it?
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. All the Spanish moss on it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Even with the heat, the shadows of it makes it so cool.
And just the way the branches are all intertwined and hanging.
Well, we were kind of contemplating why people find specimens of nature like this gigantic oak so meaningful. And here you are starting a new married life together, mm-hmm. and this is where you come to pay homage to that sentiment. So is there something there?
I think just with the city being so chaotic almost, coming here and having this nice, relaxing time to just enjoy what we just did instead of
the warm weather
barbarian.
And that breeze blowing by, it's beautiful. I could hang out here all day.
And the other interesting thing about the oaks is we lost many, many, many of our trees in Hurricane Katrina because the water that came in through the broken levees was saline. And so the salinity of the water killed the magnolias, it killed a lot of greenery. But the oaks were able to withstand. They stood for a month in salt water, and they endured. So I think that essense of them is that they just endure. And so will your marriage and love.
I was just going to say, that was so easy.
Yeah.
And may your marriage be like the Tree of Life. I love that.
That's awesome, actually.
You'll start your own little forest. Yeah. And yes.
Yep.
Well, we should let you all get back to your celebration, but how awesome to connect with you. Have a good time.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
What do you think this tree would say if you asked it to tell us a little bit about itself?
Oh, I think it would say, stop fucking taking pictures of me. I've had enough. But no, I think...
You are so cynical.
No,
that is not true.
I know. You know what? I think what comes to me is what our dearly departed friend Sharon, who sadly didn't get to live to be 300, she said directly to me, and so many New Orleanians have said, come out here and record a podcast on Everyday Wonder if you want. Come out here on your wedding day. Come out here and climb on me. I'll be whatever you want.
I love that idea. I think the tree is saying as well, I've been here. I've persevered. I've seen it all. I've seen duels. I've seen arguments. I've seen weddings. I've seen people happy, I've seen people sad, I've seen people run, I've seen people be angry, and I think that he would say to us, life is what you make it, put it in perspective, don't take it too seriously, because this too shall pass. We're doing a podcast about the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
Have you been here before?
I have.
And why do you come?
I mean, it's impressive.
Now, part of me is like, it's just an easy meeting place. My daughter is like, we're going to go walk the dogs, meet us at the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
So does it ever become that mundane, or is it always mystical and impressive whenever you come?
It's always impressive every time you see it, right? I mean, I like coming here because it's right next to the giraffes. I don't necessarily come to the Tree of Life every day, but how are you not just impressed by all of it?
Are you mystified and amazed by it, too?
I am. So this is the first time I've seen it. So I'm not from here. I'm from Southern California. But it's cool to see something that's, you know, it's older than our country.
Yes.
That is cool.
It is true. Right? It is absolutely true. You know, several things I've read online about this tree say that the only thing that comes close to it are the redwoods of California.
Oh, yeah. So I go to the redwoods often, and it's just as impressive to see a tree like this as it is to see one of, like, the giants, like the chandelier tree that you can drive through. I mean, when you look at those trees, they you know, they go up, you can't even see the tops of them. But when you look at this, right, like, it's very difficult to get the entire thing in the frame of your vision. It's the same type of thing. It's almost surreal. Like, when you come up, when you see it, right, it's very difficult to wrap your mind around kind of just the mass of it.
That's right. What Roadside America says.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about it when you look at this?
You feel small and you feel very young.
Ah, I should stand out here more often.
I know. Right? I mean,
look at this tree. This tree has seen more than any living human being has seen. So
that's kind of what I think. I think it has seen so much and have been around through so much that it makes us not insignificant, but it puts things in perspective.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
My favorite thing about this tree, looking at it, is the way the roots at the bottom double over themselves and make these gnarly, knobby, 6-foot-high, kind of almost look like stones around the bottom of the tree that anchor it. And to me, that's unusual. I haven't seen a tree that has done that. And it gives it this personality that's kind of elfin or something that makes it seem like it's kind of laughing with us.
The largest organism on Earth is a tree, right? And it's a whole grove of trees. It turns out they found out, like, what, a couple decades ago, that it was just one tree.
They just found these, I think they are a cypress, and they've positively dated some of them to be 2300 or 2400 years old, but the scientists think that there are probably trees within that area that are 3000 years old.
You go to the redwoods, right? The redwoods, most of the trees in the redwoods now are young. They're the younger trees in the redwoods because they went in there and they cut down all the older ones.
It's interesting because this is one of several oaks in Audubon Park that are on the Live Oak Society register, and two of the others were called George and Martha Washington. And then the Live Oak Society will tell you that George passed away, unfortunately.
Aww.
But Martha is still in the rhino habitat in the zoo. So, yeah, it is. I mean, they do seem to have personalities. And maybe naming them like we do our animals and our plants infuses them with personality. Brett Will thinks that this one is, I don't know if you know this, it's the Etienne de Bore Oak is the official name of it, named after the first mayor of New Orleans, which makes it very French. I like.
But what I love is, so when you look at this tree,
you wonder what it's seen and what it's been through.
Well,
and what it will. And then I think, because, you know, we're standing here talking about how old it is, because, right, that's usually our orientation to age, is you were here when. But, you know, this tree ain't going anywhere.
Right.
You know, so I wonder what it will see. I mean, I wonder what will be, what human, what living form we'll be here in 300 years from now, looking at it.
If we manage to cherish it and take care of it, or if it's
or will we be underwater? Will we finally will the water finally reclaim us? But she looks like this really interesting grand dame that you would love to have happy hour with, which maybe will be our next time.
I like that. That's a good idea. I'm going to come out here and have a little happy hour myself with the tree.
You could spike the gelato.
When I was walking over, I was thinking, like, why don't I come out here more often just to hang out for a little bit?
And you know what? I love that mystical day hour around 5, 6 o'clock when it gets cooler, and happy hour.
Yeah. Thank you all very much.
All right, y'all. Take care. Thank you.
It's so nice to meet you.
Have a great day.
Enjoy your visit. So these are but great conversations, and you know, and okay, now I'm glad I came to the, and my partner would tell you this is what I do. I start out not liking popular things, and then, as he said, I'm their number one fan. So now I'm the Tree of Life's number one fan. And it is awesome that we who call New Orleans home get to have this tree as part of our everyday wonder. But we got to realize that not everybody lives in New Orleans. And so, but I do think, and a friend of mine was talking to, and I do hate this term, but he used it, a spiritual guru, which just, I don't like that either. I feel about that like I do about, yeah, I feel about that like I do popularity contest or the Eiffel Tower. But anyway, but he was talking to a quote unquote spiritual guru, and she said to him, we all have a tree. And I think, you know, for everyone listening, wherever you are, there's an element of truth to that. Because, and I want to go back to the woo-woo here, you know, if you think of not just the trees reaching to the sky, which we all share the sky, but those roots all reach down into the same earth. So literally, roots that are coming out of the earth in Peoria are actually coming from the same place as the tree of life.
Well, I think...
she made a face.
No. I do think we all have a tree. Capital T, lowercase t. In my case, it's the lowercase t. I think we're drawn to trees for a number of reasons. Here come some kids climbing this tree. That's one obvious reason. They're scooting up the branches that are lying on the ground, and it's wonderful to see.
Should I go tell them about Jewish mysticism?
No, not at all. I think trees, not here so much, but elsewhere, I think trees go through a metamorphosis. And I think elsewhere you get trees that drop their leaves, change their leaves colors, get leaves back. So I think that whole human cycle of birth, aging, death, rebirth, aging, death, is symbolized by trees. I also think that trees touch something in our soul. Years ago, some advertising guy showed me a picture of a live oak and said, what does this say to you? And I said, well, it's a pretty tree. And he goes, no. It represents faith and solidity and permanence and strength. And then I was like, oh, yes, it does. I see that. You were that guy. And so I think that even for those of us who don't necessarily articulate that when we see a tree, whether it's a tree that's bare of leaves, whether it's a tree in Peoria, Illinois, or Brooklyn, New York, or the redwoods of California, there's something that speaks to us and our human existence that makes us both very small and very grand.
Well, my goodness, I think that is a perfect place to move on from this tree. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Tree of Life. And thank you, those of you who've been listening.
And thank you, giraffes.
And thank you, giraffes. We'll see you next week.
There's no other place that I'd rather be. That puts a smile on my face. The world.